Praise God. Welcome to Genesis 1 Christian Ministries. Pastor Mike here. Why don't you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, we thank you so much for this time we're about to have with you, Lord God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you shall minister to every single listener that is out there today, O Lord God. Speak to them where they are. Heavenly Father, you know the needs, you know what's going on in their lives, O Lord God. So I pray you minister to them in your own special way. In the mighty name of Jesus, I give this time and this place entirely over to you. Take it where you will. For your honor and your glory and your praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Praise God again. Welcome to Genesis 1. Pastor Mike here. I want you to go get your Bible, get a pencil, a pen, a marker, maybe some paper to take some notes on so that you can follow along and jot down some things as Holy Spirit so guides you. You'd be surprised how these things you write down and jot down and highlight in your Bible, how they'll be able to help you when issues of life come upon you, you know. And matter of fact, speaking along those lines, one of the things that God had said to me over the last couple of days is to tell my people about things to come. But in order for us to understand when God does speak to us via His Bible, or through, you know, that small voice that speaks to us sometimes, we have to be able to recognize that it is indeed the Word of God, and we have to be able to retain the Word of God when we do read it and when we do hear it. And retention of the Word is one of the things that is so critical to our lives as Christians. So many times, I mean, it's happened to me also. I mean, you know, I'll give a sermon and on a Sunday, live sermon on a Sunday, and then come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever, exactly what I was preaching about comes to pass in my life. And I have to draw on what I preached. I have to draw on what I read during the service. And I see it happening to so many people. You know, they will sit through a message and they'll hear it. And then all of a sudden, come Monday, Tuesday, or whatever day after they heard the message, the very thing that was discussed in the sermon and in the message comes up in their lives. And then many times they indeed struggle. Because they come to me sometimes. I wind up counseling people. They come to me and they're struggling with something. And then I can remind them, say, does that sound familiar? We just talked about that last Sunday. You just read that in your scriptures last Sunday. So for some reason, they did not retain the Word. So for in order for us to be able to follow God's direction into the future, weeks, days, months, or whatever, you know, until Jesus tarries, we have to make sure that when we're hearing the Word, that we are retaining it, okay? And so to get into that today, I want to start the discussion by building a foundation in Matthew chapter 12, okay? So in your Bible, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse number 22, Matthew 12, 22, okay? And again, this is building the foundation for where we want to go today. 12, verse number 22. Praise the living God. And it says there, verse 22, then was brought to him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. Jesus, of course, healed him. He healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? And if I be Beelzebub, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he shall spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, this is called the unpardonable sin, and this can be a sermon in itself, so I'm not going to go into much more detail at this point. But this is Jesus saying here, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven unto men. He goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, and whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Okay? So we see that Jesus is basically saying, so you can do all sorts of blasphemy. You can even blaspheme against me. You can talk against the Son of God. But the minute you blaspheme against Holy Spirit, that is the unpardonable sin, and that will not be forgiven you. Not be forgiven. Okay? So what this is basically saying here is that Jesus did healing here. He healed that man by action of the Holy Spirit. By the anointing of Holy Spirit on him, by action of Holy Spirit, he delivered this man. Okay? They were saying here that he was acting under the auspices of Beelzebub, the devil. So Jesus is saying, you are taking the good works of Holy Spirit and you're giving it to the devil. Okay? You're taking the good works of Holy Spirit and you're giving the credit to the devil. This is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Okay? And Jesus said, that simply will not stand. Okay? Now, so again, I said I was using this as a foundation to go into the rest of the message. Now, here we see these people here witnessed the acts and heard the words of Jesus Christ. They witnessed it and saw it firsthand, okay, what he said and what he did, right? And so now, considering that, what we just read, we're going to go into the parable of the sower, or the parable of the four soils, as it is also called, because it looks at the varying conditions at various soils, okay? And this parable could also be entitled The Effect of God's Word Dependent on the Condition of the Heart. The effects of God's word dependent on the condition of the heart, okay? And this parable is talking about four soils. So we're going to see how this is relating to man's heart or man's spirit. So let's go to Matthew 13, verse number 1. Okay. Scroll it. The same day, okay, verse 1. The same day, now this is the same day that he healed the man there, okay? The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It's given to you to know the mysteries of heaven, but to them it's not given. And I say to you today, it's given to you to know the mysteries of heaven. Okay? Remember that. Okay? As a believer here, the born-again believer, it's given to you to know the mysteries of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken away even what he has. All right. So what this is saying here in verse number 11 there, where it says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. This means that those wonderful, glorious gospel truths, the so-called mysteries of heaven, which at that time only the more advanced disciples could appreciate and understand. Okay, this is the disciples who were walking with him. They were listening to him and hearing him. Okay, these were the more quote unquote more advanced disciples. It was given to them to understand. But where it says that, but to them it is not given. You know, parables serve the double purpose of revealing and concealing by presenting the mysteries of the kingdom, quote unquote, to those who know and can appreciate them. But to those who do not understand spiritual things, they are meaningless. And we saw that. We saw that shown there, acted out in chapter 12 that we just read there. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees that were there, they saw what Jesus did. They saw him lay hands. They saw him heal the guy, heal the man there. But they did not appreciate what was happening. And they just rejected it. They said, oh, this carpenter guy, you know, he's acting on behalf of the devil, Beelzebub. So they did not understand nor appreciate what was going on. So the people like that, the principles, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven will not be revealed to them. They simply cannot understand it for the way that they are behaving. Okay? When in verse 12 there says, for whosoever has it shall be given, whoever understands and values the mysteries will gain more. Okay? The more you can understand and value God's deeper mysteries, then God will indeed give you more. It says, but to those who do not value those mysteries, who kind of poo-poo them away, they will lose whatever they have. Okay, so you got to remember this in going forward. Now, we have to learn to value the Word of God, value what God is saying to you, value what you're reading, value what Holy Spirit is whispering to you, because He will reveal the deeper mysteries to you, okay, as His son or as His daughter. If we continue here in Matthew 13, with Matthew 13, verse 13, it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not. Let me read that again. I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Okay? They're seeing, but they see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand, okay? So while they see what is going on and they hear what's going on, they don't really see and they don't really hear because they simply do not understand, okay? And then that's what happens, you know, like if you're sitting in church there and the preacher's up there and he's giving the sermon, you know, and you're looking at him and you're hearing the words and you see him, but yes, you see not because either you don't believe, perhaps, or maybe your mind is just drifting away. During the time you should be paying attention in that service, maybe your mind, you're thinking about the ham that's in the oven, you're thinking about what you have to do later on that afternoon, what you have to do tomorrow morning, that meeting coming up, your word, and you're thinking about that. So while you're seeing what's happening, you see not. You're not looking at the deeper things that's going on there. And while you're hearing, you're really not hearing. This is what he's talking about here. For while they see not. And, okay? And then he goes on to say in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. By hearing you shall hear and not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Perceive means to understand. Okay, and this was prophesied by Isaiah. All right. So again, you see that it's possible that we can see and not really see what's going on, not seeing into the mysteries of God, and we can hear and not really hear and understand or perceive what is actually happening around us. You know? And for this people, verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross. In other words, it's grown hard. Their hearts have become hardened. All right. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, unless at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Right? So they say because of their condition of their heart, because of their hardness, this is what is preventing them from receiving, from seeing and for hearing. Okay, and that's what I'm getting at here today. We need to make sure that we our spiritual hearts are like soil, if you will, to receive and to perceive and understand what is being said to us by the Word of God. Okay, it's very simple for us to read this word. You know, again, you know, you've heard me say many, many times, you know, reading the Bible is not like reading Gone with the Wind. Every single time you read Gone with the Wind, it's going to say the same thing. If you're reading it word for word, page for page, it's going to say the same thing. The Word of God is not like that. The Word is nuanced with power of Holy Spirit there. So that every time you read it, if you're prayerfully reading, it's going to give you perhaps new meaning and which will be applicable to your life and to your situation. But you've got to read it and see it and hear it, you know, with a softened heart to receive what God is saying to you through that word. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here today. Okay, and they say their hearts had grown hard. They did not want to believe because they would have benefited from Jesus' words and actions. Okay, they saw and they didn't hear, for he taught them and performed miracles like no man had ever done before. But they saw not and they heard not because they took nothing in, not receiving the soul-penetrating, life-giving words that was being addressed to them. They just did not hear. We continue here in verse number 16. But blessed are your eyes. He's talking to the disciples now. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, this is the real seeing and the real hearing. Going beyond that surface seeing and that surface kind of hearing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. He's saying to you, and remember that word verily, I said, you see that word verily in scripture, that means here comes a dynamite truth. For verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things that you see. Okay? Talking about the prophets of old, in Old Testament. They had many prophecies back then. They prophesied Jesus coming and the things that he would do and so forth. And they just hung on to that. But they never got to actually see it. But they really wanted to. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them. Okay? Can you imagine what it would have been like to have had Jesus or to have Jesus right physically in front of us to see him in action? Can you imagine what a blessing that would be? Many of the prophets and the great people of old in scripture, they desired to see those things, but they did not see them. Okay. And they wanted to hear those things and they did not get to hear them. And then he goes on to say in verse number 18 here, he says, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Okay. So Jesus gave us those wonderful words in the verses preceding just now. Now he's going to interpret to them what he was talking about, what that parable actually means. He's going to give the parable of the sower. Okay. And of course, we know here that the sower is Jesus Christ. And he's talking about seeds which fall on four different types of ground. Okay. Okay. What we're about to read, he's talking about seed that falls on four different types of ground. The sower is Jesus, as I said. And the types of ground that we're going to read about is one, there's the hard ground, okay, by the wayside, which prevents the seed from sprouting at all. And the seed becomes nothing more than bird food. That's all it is, because it doesn't do any purpose but to just lay on the ground. Then the other ground he talks about here is the stony ground, which provides enough soil for the seeds to germinate and begin to grow. But because there is no depth to the soil, the plants do not take root and are soon withered away in the sun. Okay. The other ground he talks about is the thorny ground, which allows the seed to grow. But the competing thorns, the competing weeds and everything choke the life out of the seeds, the beneficial plants that are growing. Okay, so the seeds start taking root and plants start growing, but then the weeds and the thorns around it choke off those good plants. And then lastly, the last type of ground that Jesus discusses is the good ground, which receives the seed and then winds up growing and producing much fruit. So Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower highlights these four different responses to the word of God. Okay, you know, I always say that whatever happens or whatever goes on in the physical, there's a spiritual counterpart to that. That's the way God designed it. Whatever happens in the physical, there's a spiritual counterpart to it. All right, and actually, I should say the spiritual beginning, because everything with God begins in the spirit realm, and then it's made manifest in the physical. So the spiritual is always first. But this parable addressing these four grounds, these four physical grounds, these four soils, if you will, is also linked to our spiritual condition. Okay, and that's what we're going to see by this parable. If you go to verse number 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received seed by the wayside. All right. So he's saying that when the seed is poured out, okay, and it is not understood by that person who should be receiving it, then comes the devil and snatches it away. Okay. So you're sitting there in church and you're not really thinking about it, and you're not really caring, you're not wanting to understand, and the seeds of God's word are being poured out upon you, sown upon you by that preacher that's up there. And if you're really not interested in seeing it or not, then the devil just comes around and snatches that word right away from you. Snatches the seeds of that word right away from you. Simple as that. You will not benefit by it because you're really not interested, and you're not interested in even trying to understand it. He goes on to say in verse number 20, but he that received the seed in stony places, The same is he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet has he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For in tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Okay? Now what he's saying there is that the stony ground pictures a person who professes delight with the word. However, his heart is not changed. And when trouble arises, his so-called faith quickly disappears. And you may have heard the people in church there, me and the brothers and sisters, you know, amen, while the pastor's, you know, preaching up there, amen, and God, hallelujah, amen. Oh, boy, boy. Maybe after the service, people are saying to the pastor, gee whiz, what an excellent sermon. It was great. And they were enjoying it when they were receiving it. But then after church, and they get away from that into Monday morning or whatever the next day is when they heard that word, and things start happening, life starts happening, a trial or a tribulation comes, all of a sudden they forget entirely about what they heard, and they fall to pieces. It says there, the word of God says he is offended. Okay, that means that the person doesn't know how to deal with what is going on. Yet at the time they were receiving the word, they were joyful. Okay? He that received the word in stony places is the same that hears the word and with joy receives it. But it has no root in him. That word is not taking root in him. But so he endures for a little while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Okay, so the word that was sown while he was sitting there in church listening, or wherever he was listening, or wherever he was reading it, that word is not seeping in and taking root in him. When something happens, then all of a sudden, everything falls apart, okay? Because he did not receive the word, okay, in him. Okay, this is what this is talking about. This is why I'm talking about. It's so important. If God is going to direct us moving forward and you want to receive his direction, then you've got to know how to receive that word and get it where it belongs, deeply planted within your spirit, okay? And that's what that stony ground is all about. Then we continue here in verse number 22. Says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Okay. So in other words, now this is someone that, again, we go to church or we're hearing a word wherever we are, and we receive that word and we're all pumped up about it. We're feeling good about it. But then after that, all of a sudden we start thinking about, oh boy, boy, you know, I want that sports car, you know, or my neighbor next door, boy, he just put a pool in his backyard. Man, I got to get me a pool, you know, oh, my bank account, oh, this, oh, that, you know, how can I make more money? How can I do this? And the riches and whatnot, it just rises up so much that is all you're focusing on. You know the scripture that says that money is the root of all evil. You know that scripture is not saying that money is evil, okay, but it's the love of money, I should say. It says the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's that love where your only thing you're going after is money, okay, then because of that, that chokes off that good word that is in you, okay? It chokes it off. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, we all have had gardens out there, or your lawn and whatnot. I'm wrestling with one of my lawns now that we had a particularly heavy rain this year and so forth, and now the lawn's trying to come back. And the funny thing is that the weeds always manage to grow. The weeds manage to grow beautifully, okay? But the flowers and the grass and everything like that, they have a hard time and they struggle. Sometimes I'll, you know, do the fertilizer and all that same sort of thing, and the flowers will start growing. But then all of a sudden, those weeds start growing up, and they choke the flowers off. Okay, this is what happens in our lives if we're not careful. We have good things happening in our lives, but because of the fact that our attention, you know, gets focused on worldly things. In this case, it's talking about worldly things, riches, and the deceitfulness of this world. That then being focused on that can choke out the good word that is in you, okay? And therefore, you wind up losing out, okay? You wind up losing out, all right? Four soils, conditions of the spirit this is talking about. The last one here is verse number 23, and it says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, underlining your Bible. He that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Okay? All right? You see, so here now, this is where the condition of our spirit in wanting to receive God's word, in being attentive to God's word, and hanging on to every syllable of God's word, and having our spirit and our hearts and our minds in a condition that I want to receive more from you, Lord. I want to know more about you. I want to understand you more, Lord. Okay, that means that your soil, your ground is good, fertile ground for God's word. So when the seeds are sown into that good, fertile ground of your spirit, okay, then it winds up growing and it blossoms and it brings forth fruit. It says some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Okay, this is when the seeds of God's word are sown into fertile ground. And as that happening, then you understand it. Okay. So this is like you're listening to the word or you're reading the word, and everything that you're receiving, you're just drinking it in. And you're understanding and you're following every single nuance of every single word that you're hearing. This is the seeds of the Spirit. This is the seed of God's word falling into your spirit on fertile soil. Good ground for producing what God wants to produce. Okay. So to summarize the point of the parable of the sower, a person's reception, how you receive God's word, is determined by the condition of your heart. Right? Let me say that again. A person's reception, or how you receive God's word, is determined by the condition of one's heart. To live a victorious life requires more than a superficial hearing of the gospel. You'll never really to be able to flourish and to benefit by what God has in store for you if all you're interested in, for that matter, is a superficial understanding of the word of God. Okay? And unfortunately, there are many Christians who go to church for that reason only. They go to church because they know they should go to church, or their aunt Tilly goes to church, their family always goes to church on Sunday, and so they go along to, you know, to do their duty, so to speak, to go to church. But that's really all they desire. Just they want to hear the word of God, get in and sing a few songs, and get in and fellowship a little bit, talk to, get in and get out. Okay, that's a superficial understanding or superficial seeking of God. You will never be able to get God's word deeply rooted and planted in your spirit if you go to only desire a superficial hearing of the word. Okay? You have to desire much more than that. Someone who is truly saved and wants to benefit by the word will strive to really keep the word of God in their heart. Our faith and our lives should exemplify the good soil in the parable of the sower. That's what we should be reaching for. You know? And many times, you know, if you've been to our live services many times, that's in my opening prayer there where I pray, Heavenly Father, please prepare them, prepare their spirits, O Lord God, as fertile soil to receive the seeds of your words, okay? To receive it. Prepare their spirits to receive your words, you know? And then at the end, oftentimes I wind up praying, Lord God, we pray that these seeds were sown into fertile soil so that these seeds are deeply, deeply planted, deeply rooted, so that they cannot be stolen away by the evil one when he comes along. Amen? So it's about the condition of your heart, which determines how well the word of God will blossom and bring forth fruit in your life. We need to make sure that we are ensuring that we are carefully listening and retaining God's word in the days, weeks, months to come, because God is going to be giving us directions for things to come. So you have to make sure that we're making an effort to really, really listen and retain God's word. Okay? All right. And you know, I will say to you also, saints out there listening, is that many times, okay, after church or after you've listened to one of these messages, you know, and the next day comes along, if you're really seriously listening in church or listening to these messages and you're going through your Bible and you're highlighting things and everything, and then when you get into Monday morning or the next day after you've heard this message, the next day, something will come up in life and Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. Remember what you just read? Remember what you just read in the book of so-and-so? Remember what you just read, chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so? You recall what was being discussed? Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. Will bring it back to you, you see? Because the word of God gets into your spirit, okay? And that word of God, by the way, when it's in your spirit and it's deeply rooted like that, you will surprise yourself, especially if you're in a discussion with someone else, you know, and it may be a challenging point that they're bringing up. You'll be surprised how Holy Spirit will bring back to memory scriptures that you read, scriptures that you heard, and you will wind up reciting those scriptures right back to the person, okay, to make the point that needs to be made. Holy Spirit is there in you, and he's with you, and he wants to make sure that you're benefiting from every single bit of God's word. But we have to get that word deeply rooted and deeply planted within us, okay? So again, this is all in preparation for direction that God wants to give us, that God wants to take us in days, weeks, months, years, or whatever it is to come. Amen. So we need to make sure we're wanting to keep God's word deeply rooted within our spirits. So talking about direction, we must take some time, starting with today, to discover and reflect on the ways that God wants to give us direction. Sometimes life can be confusing, and it is difficult to know which decisions to make. All of us go through that at one time or another. Thankfully, we have a Father who has sent His Holy Spirit to speak and to lead us through life's winding paths. He has a plan for each of our lives, and He desires to partner with us to watch our lives unfold. Make God your partner. Okay, you're not in this thing by yourself. You're not in this thing called life by yourself. God is your partner, and He wants to lead you and take you to where He wants you to be. And think that just remember that any place that God wants you to be is a good thing. It's a good thing. If we can just follow Him and follow His direction. He has no ill feelings. He does not desire us to suffer, to want, to desire, and not have. He just wants to lead us into places where we are successful. So partner with God. You're not in life all by yourself, not by any stretch of the imagination. So with that, I want to go to Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 23. Okay. And that just starts with by saying, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Right. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and you delight in His way. Your steps can be ordered by the Lord if you will let Him order those steps. He knows every single thing that's going to happen in your life. He knows whether you should go east or west, north or south, left or right, or straight ahead. He knows. So let Him plant your steps, and you will wind up delighting in His way. And it says, sometime he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him. Yeah, you may stumble, but guess what? The Lord is right there to pick you up. You know. And the thing about it that's interesting about life, if you don't make an effort to try to follow God, then you'll never be able to follow Him. Don't be worrying about you're stumbling or you're falling, okay? Many times we learn from that stumble or from that fall, but God is there to pick you up. Just remember that. So don't be afraid of His guidance and for His direction. If we go to Isaiah 48, verse 17, Isaiah 48, verse 17. See there where it says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leads thee by the way that thou should go. Oh, that thou had hearkened unto my commands, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the sea. And we'll pause right there. Thus saith the Lord, Holy One of Israel, He is thy God that teaches you to profit. Profit is to benefit. God can teach you how to benefit. God can teach you how to succeed if we just follow His direction. He says in 18, oh, had thou hearkened. Oh, if you had just listened to my commandments. Oh, thou hast hearkened to my commandments. So if you had listened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the way. You want to have peace like a river? You need to do what God wants you to do. Learn to follow God. Don't worry about failing. Worry about falling. God is there with you. But He's there to direct your path. You know, he offers a hopeful promise to us right there, that God is always with us. What would it be like to experience peace like a river? What would it feel like to float on a continual stream of rest and contentment? Can you imagine that? Where you get up and there's nothing for you to worry about? You just feel totally at ease and just know that I'm just going to coast here because God is going to float me. God's going to float me right through this situation, whatever it is that's before me. How would past circumstances have turned out differently if only we would have listened to the commandments of God? Think back on some time. I'm not saying don't think back and labor on it and dwell on it, but you think back on some time there that maybe you should have done it God's way. and it would have been a whole lot easier. Okay, so learn from that past mistake. Maybe you acted out on your own. You listened to God. Learn from that so that you don't go down that path again. Okay, God wants to direct you. All you have to do. Isaiah makes it clear that a lifestyle of peace and righteousness is readily available to us if we simply let the seeds of God's word fall into fertile ground and follow the Lord, follow the Lord, follow the Lord who leads us the way that we should go. Okay? It's hard to follow someone if you don't know them. It's hard to follow someone if you don't trust them. The way we learn to know God and the way we learn to trust Him is by letting the seeds of His word fall down into fertile soil with our spirits. Let it get deeply, deeply rooted within us so that those seeds can't be shaken loose. That those seeds cannot be stolen away because something rises up in your life, because a trial or tribulation comes your way. Let's open our hearts and our minds to the Spirit of the living God today. Today, not tomorrow, but today. And ask Him to mold you and to shape you into being a follower of His directions. Okay. Let your spirit receive the deeper things of God. If we go to Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32, verse number 8. And we read here, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Here he's making a promise to you right there. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with mine eye. Wow. I will guide you with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, unless they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. But he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. See? So he's saying that God will instruct us. He'll lead you. He'll tell you what you need to do exactly. You got questions about how to deal with your boss. You got questions how to deal with a loved one, someone that's giving you a hard time. You got questions, concerns. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. God will indeed lead you. He will indeed instruct you. And it says there, don't be like the horse or like the mule, which has no understanding. The horse or mule has no understanding. You ever ride a horse, you know? Okay? You sit there, you have the bridle, you pull it right, you pull it left, and it goes where you want it to go. He's not having some understanding. See, now he wants me to go to the right because of so-and-so. He wants me to go to the left because of so-and-so. He's not reasoning well. He has no understanding. He's simply just going with the pull of the bridle. Pull of the bridle. But God is saying, don't be as the horse, don't be as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So simply trust in the Lord. Make sure that your spirit is fertile, as fertile ground to receive God's word and to receive his instruction. The Lord is faithful to give direction. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what it's out to be outside in the dark? And if any of you do any camping or anything, but you go outside when it's not a full moon out, it's not bright outside, and you don't have your flashlight, you stumble around quite a bit. But what this is saying is that your word, God's word is a lamp. God's word is a lamp to your feet. So in other words, it's guidance to you. It's guidance. And it's a light to my path. God's word illuminates the ways in which we should go. And that the ways which we should go physically, emotionally, and mentally. Okay? You've got some issues where your emotions are really high and, you know, you're in a constant state of anxiety. You're worried. Maybe you're having heart flutterings, palpitations. Your blood pressure's up there and everything. You need God. You need God to still you. You need God to put you on that river so that you're nice and still and calm. You need God to light your path so that you know where you're going. You can see where you're heading. You know, when you've got a big problem on your mind and you're struggling, there's nothing but darkness before you because you can't see the way out. You don't know whether I should go to the left or to the right. You don't know. But God's word will light up that path. He will light up and tell you exactly what it is that you need to do. God's word is designed to influence the way that we think, feel, and act. If we will choose to follow the direction offered to us in Scripture, we will discover a wellspring of peace and righteousness that completely drenches every part of our hearts with purpose. Scripture is also clear that God continues to speak to us and offer us direction straight from his voice. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me." You know Jesus' voice? If you're his follower, then you should know his voice. Okay? And if you know his voice, then follow where he's telling you to go. As simple as that. We need to be like sheep in that regard, following the shepherd. Jesus is indeed the great shepherd. So think about today, I say to you. Think about this today. What situation lies before you in which you need direction of your all-knowing, loving Heavenly Father? Okay. What's going on in your life right now where you need some direction? And you know that God is the only one that can provide that direction for you. Think about that situation. Maybe jot it down on a piece of paper right now while I'm talking to you. And then after we finish here, then you go and you take that to the Lord and pray with him. And let him give you some direction where you should go. Where do you need peace in your life? What is going on in your life that has you so agitated, has you so upset, has you so worried? You ever sit down and you try to watch TV, and then after 10 minutes, you don't realize what the people on TV were even saying because your mind has drifted off and you're thinking about that problem that's out there? How many times have you sat down to read a book and all of a sudden you wind up reading that same page over and over again because your mind keeps drifting off because you're worried? That may have happened to you when you're reading the Bible. You're reading the Bible and your mind keeps drifting away and you wind up reading the same scriptures over and over again. And then it's time to stop the Bible reading and go and pray. Go and pray. If you're not understanding what the Bible verses are saying to you, or you can't seem to focus on what the Word is saying to you, you need to go and pray. Let Holy Spirit capture your mind and direct your thoughts so you can concentrate on what you're reading. But God is there for that also. He's there to be your guidance and to illuminate your path. Where do you need to start your path being illuminated? Ask that question of yourself and then ask that of God. If you're not sure exactly what it is that's going on in your life, all you know, you just feel so disoriented, you feel so disheveled, you just feel so, you feel depressed all the time, nothing seems to be going right. Now is the time for you to go to the Lord, to run to the Lord. And then as you go to run to the Lord, you prepare your soil, so to speak, your heart, your spirit. I'm willing to receive, Lord. I want to know, Lord. Tell me the deeper truths. Give me the deeper mysteries of you, Lord. I want to know. And you're preparing your spiritual soil, so to speak, so that it is fertile and it's ripe for God's words, for God's seeds to come into that spirit of yours. Amen. This is what it's all about. This is what you need to learn to do. This is far off the beaten path of being a quote-unquote textbook Christian, okay? Because there's nothing textbook about Jesus Christ. Being a Christian, you know, a Christian means, the word Christian means a follower of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul coined that term in Antioch when he was there. And he said, a Christian is a follower of Christ. So a Christian is one that follows Christ. So there is no textbook stuff that we do. It's just the book stuff that we do based on the book, the Bible. Amen. Amen. So what we need to do is to look at, what does the Word of God tell me I need to do? If the Word of God says that the seed grows in fertile soil, that means that the condition of my spirit needs to be fertile soil. So I can receive those seeds of God's Word and plant them in this fertile soil of my spirit so that it can grow, and bring forth fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Amen? Amen? Dive into God's Word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is so, so critical. Dive into God's Word under Holy Spirit's guidance. Receive and keep God's word in your spirit and search out his commandment for your life. I say to you that if you search out his commandment for your life, you will not be disappointed. Tune your ears to the frequency of God's spirit and listen to whatever he would say to you. May you discover the direction you need today as you pray. But you've got to tune your ears to the frequency of God's spirit. You know, today with the TVs and the radios, even in our cars, you know, being so highly efficient and everything like that, it's not like in the old days where you tuned to a radio station where you had a rotary dial and you had to dial. And if you dial past the station, you'd hear it going away, static would come, and you dial back again until you finally dialed and got to that exactly right position. Many of us out there may remember the old rabbit ears on our TVs. We had to get those rabbit ears adjusted just right to get that good picture in. If you moved the rabbit ear too far to the right, let's say, the picture all of a sudden would get hazy and start jumping, and so you had to bring it back. So you had to tune in that station. tune in that radio station, tune in that TV station. Well, the same way, we need to make sure that our spiritual ears are tuned into God's frequency, to the Holy Spirit's frequency, so that we can clearly hear what he's saying. Otherwise, you'll be off channel, so to speak. Okay? So make sure that our spiritual ears are tuned into God's word. Make sure that our spiritual soil is nice and fertilized so that we can receive God's word. Okay, and then listen to what he is saying to you. That's the most important thing. God never desires to send you out into this world on your own. There's no desire to send you out there without him being there to help you. He doesn't want you to be alone. He doesn't want you to think that you're alone. He wants you to know that he's always there for you, that he's always there with you. You have to tune in to his frequency to hear what he's saying to you. Tune in. And all this happens by you, an act of your will, by you wanting to do this. He longs so much to teach you how to live your life under the guidance of his Holy Spirit and the Word. He longs to teach you how to do that. We don't come out of the womb knowing how to do this. Okay? We don't come out, we don't graduate high school knowing how to do this. We don't graduate college knowing how to do this. Amen. We don't necessarily always go to church and know how to do this, as is obvious and evident among many people that I know. But the way this happens is because learning about God is a lifetime event. It's a lifetime experience. It's a lifetime education, you've heard me say many times. You never get to the point and say, oh, well, okay, I'm so-and-so years old now. I've done all that I need to know about the Word of God. I've done all the praying I need to know. I've got all the wisdom. No, it does not work that way for us children of God. You are an everlasting, continuous disciple. You are a continuous student. You are a continuous learner about God as we go through life. So learn about him. Desire to want to know him. He wants to teach you how to live under the guidance of his Spirit. We need to spend time receiving fresh revelation on what it looks like to follow your Heavenly Father. Okay? We need to practice that. Spend time receiving new. God wishes to give you revelation moment by moment. God has so many mysteries, so many wondrous things to show us and tell us. We don't have the faintest idea, but he wants to share what he wants to share when we are ready to receive it. He's not going to give you important information, if you are not ready to receive it and you're not ready to handle it. If you're not mature enough spiritually to handle certain things, God will not show you and God will not give them to you. I always say, would you give the keys to a 9-year-old little boy? Would you give your keys to your beautiful, expensive car? Would you give those keys to that little boy and tell him to go and drive your car? No, because he's not ready for it. He doesn't have the physical ability, perhaps, and he doesn't have the mental ability for sure, or emotional ability, or stability, maybe I should say. When they're driving, to not get out there and start acting crazy behind the wheel. But God will give you the things, the deeper mysteries, as you so desire them and your spirit is ready to receive them and you're looking to God for guidance, and he will give them to you. And we need to have that in moving forward. He knows what you need. Ask him today to guide you throughout your day today and teach you how to be a good follower. Ask him that on a daily basis, every single day. Heavenly Father, guide me today. What do I need to do? This is what is on my schedule. This is what is on my job, my school, my children's school. I have to do this, I have to do that. Chores around the house or whatever it needs to be. Lord, this is what I have on my... Guide me through each step. Guide me through each step. Take me through every single interview, if that's on the agenda, whatever it is. Guide me. Guide my thoughts, guide my actions. And then you simply pray and give the day to him. And watch him. You will be amazed. You'll be amazed at how your days will become so much easier and so much lighter. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hope this message was a blessing to you. And if it was, why don't you let others know where we can be found? We're at www.genesis1.sermon.net. www.genesis1.sermon.net. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see a subscribe button. Click on that subscribe button, and you'll be notified automatically when these messages are available. We also have apps for Android and Apple devices downloadable from the respective Play stores. We're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Genesis One Christian Ministries. Just do a search for it. And if you're in the neighborhood, in the Salem neighborhood, Salem, Oregon neighborhood, why don't you come on by and join us for a live Sunday morning worship service? We would love to see you, love to have you. Come by and sing some songs with us and praise and worship with us. And we will pray with you and pray for you and fellowship one with the other. Come on by and hear what Holy Spirit has to say for you. Amen, amen. We're always there, and we'd love to see you. And we hold church services at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, of course, 10:30 a.m. Sunday at 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, 2651 Commercial Street Southeast, and that's in the Candelaria Terrace section of Salem, Oregon. Come on by and join us. We'd love to see you. Amen, amen. Why don't we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had with you, Lord God, and now we pray that as we go through the balance of the day and week ahead, that we shall remember these words that you've given us, O Lord. Let us keep these words planted deeply, deeply rooted in our spirits, O Lord God, so that they cannot be stolen away from us, O Lord God. Heavenly Father, God, help us to remember these words so that we can use them and call upon them as we go about our daily activities, O Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We just want to please you. We just want to be guided by your precious Holy Spirit, O Lord God, and we look to you for all things. We love you, Heavenly Father, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Go forth and be blessed. And remember always that Jesus is indeed Lord.